Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back to cap off the first three Mission Impossible movies on our Cruiserpalooza. People say Palooza's played out, but I say since we invented Palooza...
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should be able to use it whenever we want.
That's right. To death. At the end of every sentence, Palooza. You've done this to yourselves, viewers.
So look, leave a like if you could. We'd really appreciate it. Because we're rounding things out for now.
Make it a like-a-palooza.
Ah, if you could. Yeah, so we're rounding things out for now. We're going to be coming back to these movies with Mission Impossible 3. And as always, I'm going to be replicating something from each movie. Two enormous successes as of so far, but I'm going to be doing a physical stunt in this one.
You are going to leap off a very tall building, develop some sort of fulcrum along the way?
Not quite. Huh. But there's going to be some action. Let me tell you that much.
Have you done this already?
No. Not the time of recording this.
Okay. So do you want me to record my reaction at your success and also my reaction at your imminent funeral?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do those later.
When I went into this movie at the time, I was kind of wondering, are these even anything, these Mission Impossible movies?
Could it be something to do with the fact that maybe we were burned out on the last one?
Absolutely. It was also like 2006. It was the couch jumping cruise era.
Oh,
and everyone's
right,
like,
yeah.
What's actually wrong with this guy?
Had he recently gotten married, maybe?
Yeah, that was the Katie Holmes thing, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That was what that was related to. But looking back on this one, I think it's quite good.
There's nary a couch to be jumped on in this movie. It is quite good. Yeah. Well, I guess we're ending here because we're like, well, this is the end of the ancient history of the Mission Impossible franchise. 2006, can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. Yeah, I think this one's really solid. Like, I feel like the work of J.J. Abrams generally can be a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, the style of, in previous episodes of this, we talked about the various styles of the directors.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that this is a J.J. Abrams movie because his style is, bring his mates in. Give him a little cameo. Greg Grunberg, Kerry Russell's in this.
It really does feel like him, though, because there's, like, the color saturation. There's a bit of lens flare stuff. Not too much, but a little bit. There's that heart restart scene, which was borrowed from Lost.
Oh, that's okay,
from the first season of Lost. Look, I know he does get a lot of flack. But I think he genuinely is a great director. Oh, he can be a great director.
He can absolutely be a great director, yeah. This we got some solid action sequences in this.
Yeah.
And not posing action sequences.
No.
Like real solid, like the...
They leaned too much into the hair in the last one, didn't they?
Absolutely.
They framed everything around the beautiful sweeping hair.
They let the hair dictate the action. They were like, let Tom Cruise's hair flow like water and the action will follow. But like the sequence where Hunt is escaping... with Kerry Russell.
That's such a good sequence.
The scene where him and Michelle Monaghan team up later and he's dead.
That's
and
such
she
a
has
good
to
sequence.
Defend him. That's a great action sequence, yeah.
And also they change the gunplay so it's not two-hand shooting pistols leaping through the air. He's tactical Ethan Hunt. Like he's wearing proper tactical gear. The way that he's moving, like, I don't know anything about tactical shooting, obviously, but it feels more like, yeah, this is how you go into this situation. You wouldn't just be doing somersaults and spin kicks and just firing randomly, you know what I mean?
I mean, it worked before, but you're right.
But yeah, maybe in 2002, sure. Mm. But you do feel like, I don't want to say more realistic, but it makes more sense this time around than the last one. Do you want to hear a bit about how this movie actually came to be? Because it was kind of... It was a bit up and down for a while how this was going to get off the ground and who was going to be involved.
Go on.
So Ang Lee was on board at one point.
Okay.
David Fincher was on board.
Not bad.
Joe Carnahan, which people might know from The Grey and other movies and things like that. He developed...
Well, maybe his personal life. Do you know him personally? Maybe you know him from there.
Say hi from us.
Maybe every time you see him, he's like, have you seen my new movie? And you're like, sure thing, Joe, I'll get right on that. And you don't. Do I lie or do I tell the truth? Anyway, what are we talking about?
Well, he's mentioned since that if Twitter had been around at the time that he was making this movie, it would have been a Josh Trank Fantastic Four situation. It's like his career would have suffered like greatly, you know, as a result of him working so long on this and getting a lot of pushback. And
oh, interesting.
He ultimately...
This is Abrams.
No, this is Carnahan. This is Joe Carnahan. He ultimately was saying that his version that he would have made would have been better. That he's quoted as saying.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Well, I say release the Carnahan cuts.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that would have looked like, but because he was a younger director at the time, I think the studio was dictating a lot of the moves. There was also talk of this being a prequel and bringing Emilio Estevez back.
Oh my goodness, I would have liked that. But this is still good.
Yeah, and I think also Tom Cruise.
But again, we can still bring him back.
Yes, that's right.
He's just going to be missing some skull fragments.
I think,
or his head will be all skull fragments. Yeah. It's tough to say.
I think Tom Cruise is a little too old to make this a prequel, though. You'd be like, yeah, he's not. You know,
and again, 2006, that de-aging technology was not...
No, it certainly wasn't.
Not perfect.
You're talking about X-Men 3?
Yeah, I was talking about X-Men 3.
Also, that story with Emilio Estevez, it was going to have elements...
I'm just out of the military academy and I'm so glossy. Sorry, continue.
It was going to have elements that were similar to 9/11. So they were like, maybe we should pull back on this prequel / 9/11 retelling, I guess, whatever we're doing here. Yeah. So J.J. Abrams got the job off Tom Cruise watching Alias, gave him a call and said, do you want to do it? Ha ha ha, as Tom Cruise
absolutely
does.
Absolutely, sure. But I'm serious. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. And this
I'm saying ha ha ha, but I have no control over it sometimes. But I am serious. Take the job. I will kill you. Ha 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 ha.
But this is J.J. Abrams' big movie break. This is why he's still around, because Tom Cruise gave him the opportunity through Paramount, because Tom Cruise obviously is a huge creative driving force on these movies. That's why J.J. Abrams did like Star Trek and New Star Wars and the one with the train monster, E.T., but it's a train monster. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's got a cracking opening as well and a villain. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It does. The previous movie had, the last one had like the merest shadow of a villain.
A whisper.
It's Tom Cruise, but he's evil, I guess. Kind of, but this one, yeah, this is a genuinely terrifying villain in arms dealer Davian.
Absolutely, and I just think he kind of knows where to press Ethan Hunt, you know what I mean? Or just people in general, he's just a genuine psychopath. I think he's the best villain, in my eyes. I know there's the newer guy with the beard who is like, the world must be cleansed and Ethan, you thought I was gone, but I'm back. That guy's fine. Like, I'm not against him.
Yeah.
But Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think, is better. Ethan. He's in a straitjacket or whatever.
From time to time, I wish we had a camera in here so we could record that. Maybe we can do it later.
Maybe, again,
we'll dub it over.
I'm already doing a reenactment, Mason.
That's true. Reenactment.
Aaron Paul's in this. I've written it all
I've
caps.
I've written it as well. Aaron Paul cameo. I've written, when did we have the last one of these on this channel? I think it might have been Birds of Prey, the TV series.
Oh, is this going to be a recurring thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. We could do a Price is Right episode where he shows up on that as well. Uh-huh. Good cast in general. Billy Crudup, Maggie Q.
The second Billy Crudup shows up, though, you know what I mean? First of all, he's spending an awful lot of time in that convenience store because he's like, you know, the most important thing is family. And I'm like, I know you're crooked, Billy Crudup. from that line. And also, again, you are spending so much time in that convenience store. What are you doing? Staying away from your family? Sus. You're so sus, real Billy sus, Crudup. Yeah. You don't love your family at all.
If you even have one.
Your family's betrayal.
His family is probably just dwarves in masks that he parades around at the company picnics. He's a liar through and through, Mason, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. First appearance of Simon Pegg as well. Becomes a staple of the franchise.
That's right, yeah. It's interesting who of the IMF force stays on between movies. Isn't it
just? Well, Tandy Newton was asked to return. The character that she was going to be was replaced by Carrie-Anne Moss, who that character then was completely removed. So yeah, I thought, it's Maggie Q, that character. No, they're not related. Because, you know, you got to have one girl on the team, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. How these things work. It's not a team without a girl. All teams in the world, in all forms of fiction, involve. They need to have a girl. They need to have a nerd. They need to have Ving Rhames.
That's so true. And I'd like to see Lawrence Fishburne come back in these as well.
Yeah.
Because he's in it. I guess he's the new Anthony Hopkins.
Well, there's a very high turnover of, like, IMF, the head of IMF.
Yeah.
President of IMF, you know?
Yeah, but with the Alec Baldwin one, at least they shoot him. They kill him off.
At least they shoot
at
him.
At least they had the decency.
Yeah.
But this is just...
Maybe there's a deleted scene on every DVD. Or maybe they just bring in the previous IMF head,
the
actor, and just be like, can we do a scene where we shoot you in the head?
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess.
Ethan Hunt's parents are dead, maybe. Are they, though? Because he's living this suburban life, and it plays into his hair. We're going to do a hair report at the end.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the question has to be asked. First of all, it was his in the first movie, it was his mother and his Uncle Donald. I just want to be clear.
Did we get comments?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't read the comments.
Okay.
You'll get comments. But in this, his fiance claims that his parents are dead also.
Yeah.
But he said a lot of things to her that were just flat out lies, huh?
He said he was a...
Maybe Margaret Ethan Hunt is still alive out there somewhere.
She's out there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Do you want that movie or
maybe
prequel?
He's put her into witness protection as well.
Yeah, he probably would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe he just shot her.
We did too much fun mother and son stuff and we got in the crosshairs of an international crime gang. So I've got to put you into witness protection, Mum.
You know what I like about this movie?
Yes.
It goes out of its way. And saying this, it sounds like something that you would hate.
Mm-hmm.
It goes out of its way to explain how things work.
Okay.
I'm talking specifically gadgets. So, for example, getting into the Vatican, you know, he measures up the wall of how long it is and then measures the drop from that as well.
Oh, I like that a lot.
He does the little camera trick with the little printer and he puts it up.
With his Game Boy printer.
Yeah, that's right. He says at the top, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Remember that bit?
Yeah, yeah. It's a code phrase, mate.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
You know, I like a long extended discussion about how a heist is going to be
pulled. Totally.
Off. Yeah.
And that plays into the...
Maggie Q, be sure to crash that Lamborghini.
Which she did.
She did, yeah. Yeah. Here's the footage.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That was expensive.
Yeah, probably.
How many... Did they get two Lamborghinis?
I don't know. I guess they... Oh, actually, they had a few. The one that they blew up. I think they had three or four, but the one that they blew up was just a shell.
Ah, I see.
Not like a turtle shell, like the shell of a car.
Oh, I see.
Just to
makes
clarify.
More sense.
Yeah, it totally does. But I like seeing that, you know, when he's trying to figure out the building swing.
Yeah.
He's drawing on the glass and he's like doing math and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, of course, because he's obviously not an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, he's a genius. He'd have to be.
That's right. Nobody gets on the IMF team unless they got the skills.
Yeah.
I mean, or they can somersault kick. MI2, Ethan Hunt would have just winged it, I think.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
But again, there's been 6 years in between where presumably he's smacked face first into a lot of buildings on a rope.
But do you think, though, he is making those mental calculations every time? I mean, this is the first time we've seen them?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Good question. I mean, this time he's just got oceans of time. He's like, there's 2 hours before they kill my wife, so that's so much time. I can sit here and do this. I don't have to do it on the fly.
I'm having a nap. I'm going to watch an episode of Westworld with Tandy Newton,
maybe I'll watch an episode of Alias, that great spy TV series.
The other thing they sort out is the masks. I like the 3D printing.
It's the first time we see how these masks work,
yeah,
and why they are so flawless all the time.
And the voice modulator I like, I enjoy as well. There's a bit of a weird switcheroo, and then the CGI when they're putting on the Philip Seymour Hoffman mask.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't... How does it really work? It's magic,
true,
obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I appreciate that. I think, though, maybe one thing that this movie lacks is...
Oh, here we go.
There's not...
Here we go.
And is there's not, like, a big thing. Like, a big real thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's the car smash, which he did for real on Wires.
Yes.
But, like, you know, the jump he does off the building, that's in a green screen area.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
You know, there's other bits and pieces that he does. The closest thing to something being super dangerous is where he jumps off the Vatican wall. He actually hits the ground.
Oh, does he? Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice little homage to the Langley heist from the first movie, I thought.
Yeah, and when I first saw that, I'm like...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
You know, whatever, it's not as good as the Langley heist. But knowing that he actually hit the ground, that was actually quite dangerous.
I need a medic.
My face is okay, though. It's just my organs are mushed. Mm. Yeah, so, you know, like, he doesn't strap himself to the side of a plane. He's not
bungee
jumping from a helicopter or whatever. You know what I mean?
But again, we're kind of regrouping for this franchise
yes,
right now.
Exactly.
We don't really know at this point that that's what the remaining movies are going to be.
No.
Just Cruise attempting to kill himself constantly.
I think it's also a credit to this movie that despite not selling itself on the big thing, which a lot of the newer ones do, it's still good outside of that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
It's very solid.
Yeah. I like the bit when he electrocutes himself to death and he bites the paddle pop sticks and you see them just like shatter in his mouth. That's good stuff. That's a nice attention to detail there.
Do you think they were pre-made to break and there was a stagehand on each side of him with a piece of string attached to one end of the paddle pop? Pulled them apart right at the correct
time. That's exactly what happened, yes.
I liked...
Go on.
...his delightful disguise when he was attempting to evade the IMF team and he becomes Mr. Mutton Chops going on a little trip. That's something I liked a lot.
From the Czech Republic,
that's
maybe?
That's right. And he's like, hey, it's me. I'm from Eastern Europe.
He's Borat again.
That's right.
Pre-Borat, maybe? Or same year as Borat, at the very least.
Who knows?
Maybe he'd seen an early
cut. I gotta get some Borat in this.
Yeah, he would have seen an early cut of Borat.
Borat's got a wife, I've got a wife. Let's do this, my wife.
So there's also the sense in this movie that it's the end, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is the trilogy.
Yep.
He's got
a beautiful wife that he's lied to for many months and years.
She's fine with it.
She's fine with it now, so don't even worry about
it. I like Michelle Monaghan.
Mm.
Do you really get that sense, like, the walk away at the end? He's like, goodbye, everybody.
Monaghan's getting hugs from everybody, including people she's never met.
Totally. And it's also because at that time, I think it was up in the air whether these movies were going to continue or if they did continue, whether he'd be the lead.
I see.
There were unfounded rumors that Brad Pitt was going to take over and it was going to be a whole different series of movies. And then every now and then they'll introduce a new character that they're like, Jeremy Renner's the new...
Or John Rhys Meyers.
Do you like him? Is he the new Ethan Hunt?
He could be pretty good. Billy Crudup, we could take the bullets out of him and maybe he could be the new guy. Come on.
Yeah. Do you think that... That's maybe the direction they were thinking of going, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, this was also in an era where generally speaking, you did not get six movies out of a franchise.
No.
Beyond the Police Academy series, yeah, of course.
Good movies.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, you know, a trilogy was what sold the DVD box set.
Yeah.
A trilogy was what people wanted, you know. It felt like the natural progression of a series.
There'd only been a lazy three Fast and the Furious movies, and none of them were spin-offs. I guess Tokyo Drift, is that a spin-off? It doesn't really matter. Three movies.
Sure.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. You like trivia, Mason?
I do like trivia.
Trivia! It's our favorite trivia section of the show. Trivia!
Go on.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember this, but Tom Cruise alleged...
For the audience, James called him Tom Cruise, and we're both scrambling to think of a joke.
This will be the extended.
It's Blue's Clues, but it's Tom Cruise.
So, I don't know if you remember this at the time, but Tom Cruise allegedly threatened to cancel the publicity for the film if Comedy Central rebroadcasted the South Park Trapped in a Closet episode from 2005.
Oh, was that Scientology based somewhere?
It was satirizing Scientology and mocking Tom Cruise's sexuality. Apparently the creators of South Park were approached by Comedy Central and told that the episode would be pulled off the air and that they were not to tell anybody that this is what happened.
Did they tell everybody?
Like, yes, I believe so, yeah.
Someone told somebody.
Yeah. Tom Cruise also, I think he's been asked about this since, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm not on top of literally everything.
I mean,
so
it's also very possible, you know.
It could be a publicist thing,
exactly,
or a studio thing.
Exactly, that happens
thing,
a lot
yeah.
of the time where people are like, do not look this star in the eyes.
Yeah.
And then you actually meet the star and they're like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why did they say that?
I think there was something.
You can only look at me in my eyes. Yeah.
I think there was something reported for Mission Impossible 2 in the Australian media that people weren't allowed to look Cruise in the eye, but it turned out that they're on a big open set, like in public, and people are like, can you not look directly at Tom Cruise because he's undercover and he's not really Tom Cruise? Uh-huh. So it kind of, things can get, you know, spun out that way. Also, this is quite funny to me. To promote the film, Paramount rigged 4,500 randomly selected Los Angeles Times vending boxes with digital audio players, which would play the theme song when the door was opened. The audio players did not always stay concealed, however, and in many cases came loose and fell on top of the stack of newspapers in plain view. Remember newspapers? With the result that they were widely mistaken for bombs. Police bomb squads detonated a number of the vending machine boxes and even temporarily shut down a veterans hospital in response to the apparent threat. Despite these problems, Paramount and the Los Angeles Times opted to leave the audio players in the boxes until 2 days after the movie's opening.
Honestly, a series of exploding newspaper vending machine boxes is maybe the best publicity you could get.
Absolutely. that's great. Hair. We got to talk hair. Okay.
Before we talk hair, I just wanted a special shout out to the scene where Ethan Hunt as Davian does some like very... athletic leaping about while in disguise.
I've written here,
more like Philip Seymour Jumpman. R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Parkour Hoffman. Nice. I think if there's another... I mean, Jumpman's good.
Put it in the comments, your best Philip Seymour Hoffman leaping about pun. R.I.P.
Hoff the dome kind of... I don't know. It's not working. I can't do it. It's hard. Hair report. So as people may know, we've been charting the evolution of the Ethan Hunt character in relation to his hairstyles in each movie.
I mean, some people would be like, why don't you chart the evolution of his character through his deeds or actions or emotional states or his relationships? We say, that's for losers. It's his hair or nothing.
So this is his, I'm living in the burbs, I'm a boring, everyday, bog-standard, middle-aged bloke haircut.
My fiancé said, your hair's getting a little bit long, Tom Cruise. And I'm like, all right, I better go to the barber today.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to mow the lawn.
There are no questions about this hair.
That's true.
Like, if he turned up with his Mission Impossible 2 hair, you'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is spectacular, but I don't understand. Like, what's happening here? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You would notice he would stand out with that hair.
That's true.
In a suburban environment. Imagine him mowing the lawn with that hair flowing in the wind. Yeah.
You get caught in the blades, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if he somersaulted over the mower.
So, yeah, this is like the hair of a guy, like a boring, bog-standard guy who works in logistics who you don't really want to talk to.
That's right.
That being said, if you knew a man like this in real life who was 44, Tom Cruise was at the time, and he had hair like this, you'd be like, spectacular.
Oh, absolutely. And also, side note, we have a, you know, right at the start of the movie, we have this lovely dinner party, this grown-up dinner party, very exciting, and people are like, traffic patterns, that's so boring. I'd be like, this is, I know, I'm fascinated by this. Tell me more about the traffic ripple effect.
You think he wouldn't be ready for you?
Yeah.
He'd be drawing on glass in front of you, that's explaining right. it. That would be fascinating, actually.
I hope so.
What's Greg Grundy Grunberg's job in this? He's like, right? Boring, big snooze. What are you contributing? Yeah. You're standing there listening. You gotta chip in. A conversation is two ways, Mason, is what I'm saying.
Maybe he has an even more exciting job.
Is that why?
Like, maybe he's in the double impossible mission force.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We've never actually successfully achieved a mission. They're too impossible. But you know what we say? It's worth a try. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know if you never go. Am I right?
So true, Mason.
Yeah.
Anything else to add before I do the stunt thing? Do you like his sunglasses? How about that?
I do like his sunglasses.
His funeral sunglasses?
Yeah, I was going to say his funeral sunglasses. His funeral Oakleys. I like those. Those are pretty good. I liked it when he and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers were just a couple of Italians running amok.
Oh, my God.
Mamma mia.
Yeah.
Che bello, you know what I mean?
Totally. I love the interplay, though, between the team members. Like when they are printing the mask, but they're having a completely different conversation because they've done it so many times. Mm-hmm. Like they're talking about commitment and relationships and how they can't work when you're a spy and whatever. Because they're making these masks almost constantly. So right. It's nothing. They don't need to be like, oh my God, we gotta get this. Like it's just like, yeah, this is nothing, whatever. Yeah. All right, Mason, it's time for the stunt. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Now I just want to point out also, there was going to be a minor edit in this to make it all come together, but mostly seamless. You won't even be noticing. But it might be my best work yet. Okay. I say, having not done it at the time of recording this.
All right, now you want me to do two reactions for
Please,
you?
As if it could.
Oh my God, you did it.
I did
you
it.
You son of a bitch. And now here's the other one for when it goes really badly. Here lies James, Mr. Sunday Movies. And I must say, over all the years, he's certainly a man I've met. Anyway, there's sandwiches in the hall. So let's go, folks. Let's not make this a negative day.
That's handy because if you do speak at my funeral, you can just play that.
Yeah, right? You don't even have to get up.
You'd probably be too emotional to show up, though, I'd imagine, don't you think? You'd probably be too emotional, Mason.
I mean, yeah, but I could take the day and go to like a skee ball arcade.
That's true. You could tell people you were going to my funeral and take a day off work. That's right. Perfect.
You could also play that at my funeral. Just edit my name to it.
So, look, we will be coming back to these. We're saving them for the next Mission Impossible movie. Mm-hmm. Six in a row is quite a lot. We did five for Transformers and we nearly died.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the next three are, I would say, more consistent.
Yes.
Like, they've got a more consistent style. I think the quality is maybe a little up and down, but I think they're all very good.
And I can't wait to chart the evolution of that hair because, believe me, mate, I've got things to say. I've already lined things up, ready to go.
And, James, I've already built a slightly malfunctioning set of suction pads so you can attempt to climb the tallest building in the world as part of the stunt.
Terrific. I don't know what I'm going to do for that one. I thought I might maybe try and beat his speed if I can run the having beat as quicker than him.
Yeah,
I
right.
don't think I can. But,
now, but we should have mentioned there's also some very, there's some great running in this.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, if there is a big thing that happens in this, it's the big run, right? Mm. I'm glad you brought that up because mm-hmm. this kind of solidified the, wait, has Tom Cruise been running all of this time? We haven't even been noticing all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for bringing that up because
believe me,
comments are go-go. All right, next week, here's a hint towards what we're doing. Towards? I don't know what we're doing. Wonder Woman and some other things got pushed back. Who knows, Mason? Who knows? I don't know.
We're drowning here, but we're going to cut this out of the video, aren't we?
For the video. You're going to say, oh my God, that looks amazing. And then we'll know.
Oh my God, that looks amazing.
What a good choice, right?
Yeah, good
we
choice.
We knew before recording this, didn't we?
We knew. We know things.
All right. Also, if you want to see any of these videos early, you can actually go to bigsandwich.co and sign up. They're always there early. The extended audio is also there early.
We got bonus podcasts there early. I mean, the regular time that they come out.
Ad-free feed for that podcast as well.
Movie commentaries.
A comic book club. There's too many things, if anything. The value is too good and too great. It's overwhelming.
That's right.
Like a Tom Cruise conversation. It's too much.
You'll pay for it and you'll be like, there's too much content here. I shan't download any of it. And that's how we win.
That's what we want.
That's right.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching this, though. We really appreciate it.
And as we say every week over here at this video.
Whatever this is.
As we say every week, see you in the sewer. Big Graham says it at some point.
I didn't notice.
Pretty good.
Quite sad getting his. I would have gone with the Humpty Dumpty one, but.
Oh, yeah, that would work too. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
See you in the sewer is good because that's more apt than what we do here.
It really is.
See you in the sewer. Ugh.
Ugh.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.